Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
So, welcome to the show. It's Thursday, and this is going out on Mint Wave radio station. You can just ask Alexa for Mint Wave radio, or go to the website, carolbrookscoaching.com/mintwave-radio to listen in live, or see the schedule of what else is on this week. If it's through the podcast, again, you can see the whole network, carolbrookscoaching.com/podcast-network. It's not just my podcast on there. We have a range of podcasts from coaches, consultants, therapists, and healers. You can download the app for Apple and Android. And please subscribe to any that take your fancy, follow them, or leave any comments. So today's episode is 120. Today we have, I don't want to get your name wrong, Deepak Saini. Have I said
perfect.
That right?
Perfect.
Awesome. Nothing worse than getting somebody's name wrong. And Deepak is an anti-aging coach, and we're going to be talking about changing your relationship with aging. Ah, interesting. And I'm your host, Karen Roberts. So we have the platform, the Mint Wave radio station, and a podcast network called Raising Vibrations. And it's really to help other coaches get their message heard to the people who need to hear it. So if you would like to be involved, then get in touch, go to the website above. So thank you, Deepak, for taking time out of your day for coming and speaking with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. And as an anti-aging and longevity coach, right, that's a little bit different. Deepak has spent many stressed years in the corporate world and overcoming an autoimmune condition, a back injury, and lifelong battle with obesity. Deepak brings a unique perspective to working with his clients when he's not spending time with his family. Deepak is researching and staying at the forefront of emerging and cutting-edge health research. Deepak is a speaker, a course instructor, writer, and actively working on becoming a centenarian. Wow. So where do we start with that, Deepak? If you'd like to share with the audience maybe a little bit more then about your story, how you came to be doing what you're doing now.
Absolutely. Again, thank you again, Karen, for having me on. So I was always the chubby kid growing up, right? We probably know these people. Maybe they were ourselves. At 18 years old, I was morbidly obese. I was well over 100 pounds heavier than I am now. I'm a shade under 6 feet. So I was over 270 pounds, so classified morbidly obese. I always got sick all the time, you know, 3-4 times a year, like clockwork for months at a time. I can never really sort of figure out what was wrong with me. You know, they'd give me labels of bronchitis and this and that and all that type of thing. But the real impetus for me was 8 years ago when I injured my back so badly. I had no flexion. I couldn't bend over at the waist. So I couldn't tie my shoes, couldn't put on my socks. It was very difficult getting in and out of a chair, which included getting in and out of off the toilet. But the real thing was my youngest daughter was a baby at the time. I couldn't bend over to pick her up out of the crib when she, you know, wanted to be picked up. So I didn't recognize it myself at the time, but I probably had, you know, deep depression. You know, I wasn't golfing, I wasn't running, I wasn't doing any of the things I wanted to do. I couldn't pick up my daughter. So it was in healing my back and trying to find what would work for me. And you know, just, you know, I should also say, you know, I like to say the medical system, the Western medical system, wasted 18 months of my health. Ineffective treatments, misdiagnoses, getting the runaround through the system. It wasn't until I took matters into my own hands, found a modality to heal my back that worked. And in doing research and I was already doing health research, I was already aspiring to, you know, become a better athlete, even though I was still fairly heavy. I'd lost some weight by that point, but I was already still very heavy. I just shifted that focus into researching, like, what will heal my back? And I came across the, you know, general notion of inflammation. So I started bringing inflammation down primarily through my nutrition, through my diet. And lo and behold, my back healed even faster than, you know, the treatments I was and that I ended up choosing to do. That the last, my autoimmune condition cleared up just magically. And the last 60 of that 100 plus pounds just melted away in a matter of months. So I knew it was on to something. And what I want to also share with your audience is, you know, I bet a lot of people can relate. When you're maybe you're not obese like I was, but, you know, you're just sick, you're tired, you have that chronic malaise, you know, you're just trying to make it to the end of the day, you're just trying to get to the weekend. I can just make it to that next vacation we have, I can finally relax. And even if in a business sense, you know, like, or career sense, if I could just get that next promotion, if I could just get that next raise, life would be so much better. Someone, when, sometime in the future. When I finally healed myself, again, the weight loss, the back injury, autoimmune condition cleared up, I had just a new perspective on life. I had so much more energy and had a mind shift, mindset shift. And I realized, more is possible for me. You know, when this all happened, I was in my mid to late 30s. I'm like, I'm a young guy. Like, why not? There's no limit to me. So I work with people to, you know, change their relationship with aging, change their mindset around aging, and realize, let them realize that, look, whatever you experienced, maybe with your grandparents or your parents, maybe it was being in a home, maybe they have dementia, whatever the case may be, some other disease, it doesn't necessarily need to be that way. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that we can necessarily, you know, stop cancer or anything like that, but wouldn't it be a lot better that if you got cancer or dementia or anything else, you get it when you're 80, 90, 100, as opposed to 50, 60, 70? So let's just put aging on hold, what I like to say. Let's put it on pause for a couple decades.
Love that. And I'm totally with you there. I believe it's totally doable. There are so many things that we sort of don't blame, but we are told that things are completely out of our power. We give our power away and we go to somebody who's supposedly in a place of authority of telling us what is wrong. And like I love what you said right at the beginning there about you basically took ownership of and took responsibility for your own health, which I find amazing that so many people don't, and that we give our power of the most important thing we have, our health. We haven't got that, we haven't got anything else. And we choose to give that power out there where nobody's going to understand your body as well as you.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I like what you said there, Karen. Like, it's not about blame, although there probably is some share to go around, but we don't need to go down that path. But, you know, I have lots of friends that are doctors, of all sorts, you know, specialists and functional medicine and regenerative medicine doctors and regular your GPs as well. It's unfortunately, it's the system a bit. You know, I was just sharing this yesterday, and your audience and you, I'm sure, Karen, you know as well, you know, to the point of where we have proven double-blind clinical trials, peer-reviewed, this is the new standard of care or treatment for XYZ. By the time it filters down to the GP, the average is 17 years. There's a whole generation of doctors who don't know about something that you may read on, you know, on the internet, on PubMed, that a coach like myself or yourself knows about because we stay up to the forefront, that your regular GP doesn't know because they just, the continuing education really isn't there. And like, I ask my doctor friends all the time and they agree with me. Right? And another point of the medicine is it's built in silos, right? They've dissected our body into little compartments. So I'm the liver guy, I'm the heart guy. No, we are an entire body. It all works together. We can't separate the systems to each other. So, you know, again, not to throw blame, but that's just some limitations that we have in what's called Western medical system.
I think I'm totally with you there. Okay, so you're in Canada, I'm in the UK. I don't know, but I'm going to hazard a guess that the way they work their systems are similar. And yes, we rather than looking at the holistic health of somebody and divvying it up, well, what caused that? And they don't, well, I don't know about you, but over here they don't seem to talk to each other.
No, it's the same. Our systems are very similar, I think, actually, yeah.
So you decided, now, so are you saying, from what I've heard from what you just said there, is that it took, your back was against the wall, that moment of, realizing you can't even pick your child up? Was that the point where you thought, oh man, this, something's got to change here. I've got to take action on this. Was that
Absolutely.
the point, or was it
Absolutely.
somewhere else?
So just for clarity, I had started working with a naturopathic doctor just to work on the autoimmune condition, right? I got sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time. And my regular GP, his explanation is, well, you have little kids, they go to daycare, they're going to pick up stuff. Just, you're going to be sick for like the next 5 years. I'm like, that is an unacceptable answer. I've been sick for my whole life. That's not an acceptable answer. So I started. So we were already starting to move the dial a little bit. But yes, Karen, you're absolutely correct. My life sucked. My life sucked. I could barely move. I was able to get to work, but I was in pain all the time. I couldn't pick up my daughter, even my older daughter. I used to, throw her up and spin her around. I couldn't do any of that stuff anymore. I couldn't be the dad who I wanted to be or who I even was. So it was my focus, my single mission to just heal my back, just from that point of view. And what I like to say and what I like to work on with my clients too, the number one thing is, again, I call it mindset motivation. There's a lot of different things that fall in that bucket, but it's tying, our, well, I call it my purpose or my why. So for me, it was to be able to pick up my daughter, heal my back. But for, I suggest for anyone, any goal or desire that you have, we can do something easily for like couple weeks, maybe a couple months, maybe by sheer willpower, we can like stretch it out to a couple years. But if you're gonna have lasting change and strive for a long-term goal like health, right? Like I'm playing a 60-year game here. I'm in my mid-40s. I want to be a centenarian plus. I'm playing a 60-year game. I got to think long term. So it's when you're thinking that long-term goal, we can't rely on willpower. We need to tie it. I think we need to tie it to our purpose, our heart, excuse me, our heart to our head. Right? Why are we doing this? Why is this important to me? And really tie it to something tangible. So for me, it was being able to pick up my daughter. Now, I can pick up my daughter. Now she's big now. She's getting heavy, right? But I remember how life sucked back then, and I keep that at the forefront of my mind so that all the decisions I make, should I do this activity or this activity? Should I push that extra, rep of doing bicep curls? Should I do an extra 5 minutes? Should I go for a walk? Should I eat this? Should I eat that? Ultimately, I'll tie back to that long-term goal and the knowing fact that I don't want to go back to where I was. So I do my back stretches every day diligently because I never want to go back there. So, and for everyone, it's going to be a little bit something different, but really tie it to that purpose, that why, that North Star, that guiding light, whatever terminology you want to use, but like have something that you can pin it to. So when the time gets tough, somebody waves that cheeseburger or whatever is your vice in your face, you're gonna know, no, this doesn't match my goal. That doesn't match my purpose.
Right, and that's a great attitude to have. I mean, like you just said there, I think we've been so conditioned to, again, going back to the systems that are in place, that everybody, they might want a result, but actually they don't want to change anything that they're currently doing. They want to go and get a magic pill. And like you've just said, even though you've had this transformation and you can pick up, you're back to, you've got your goals and you're doing really well, but it doesn't come from doing one thing once. Like you said, you're stretching your back. You're not missing doing that because it's an ongoing journey. And I think that's the issue. People's mindsets need to shift that your health isn't just this thing that you can get a magic pill to fix it and then never have to worry about it again. It's what we're doing, it's that build up of what we're doing consistently day in, day out. And you mentioned nutrition. It must all start with nutrition. All the old sayings come back, don't they? We are what we eat, and it's true. Why wouldn't it not be true? Our cells are changing at different rates, over, I don't know, 90 days or longer. Different, they've got different sort of time spans of renewal and that. Why do we think that one tablet is going to fix us forever? And if not, then it's failed.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, again, that, we've been conditioned by society, and you can take society to mean whatever you want it to mean. The media is certainly a part of that. And, to just accept a couple things, to accept aging, like, oh, once you get to 40, it's all downhill, right? We've heard all these terminologies, all these things in the lexicon of society, or, when you get to 60 or whatever the case may be. we've been conditioned to accept those things, and we've been conditioned that, again, maybe through media and advertising, that is the one thing. Take the blue pill, take the whatever, it crosses all industries, you know, financial, health, whatever, right? There's always a magic bullet, so to speak, right? There's not. You have to be consistent, and you have to make, you know, lifestyle changes, you know, in small incremental. I like to make it easy for people so that you have high adoption, right? So just use nutrition. You kind of brought that up, right? And once I look at someone's, you know, how they're eating, it's like, okay, what can we substitute? Let's make one change, and you can do that for a week or two. Great, manage that. Let's try something else. And then pretty soon, and you make some substitutions that is of the person's choice. You know, I might suggest something, but I'm not holding a gun to anybody's head, right? They have to do it for themselves. And then next thing you know, 3 months, 6 months later, like, oh, I don't even remember that I used this in my cooking. I now use this, you know. And there's a multitude of examples that, you know, one would choose. So, you know, it's making those small incremental changes, making part of your lifestyle that, you know, empowers, you know, the person, yourself, to, you know, it's your choice to make these. And then pretty soon you don't even remember how life was 6 months ago, a year, 2 years later. Like, I can't even remember trying to think of, like, eating some of the stuff I used to eat. Like, oh my God, you know.
I never got out of bed before a cup of tea, and I'd have to have two sugars in it. I mean, that seems so far away, and that was a habit for so many decades that, yeah, if you told me that I would be able to give that up, I would have said no.
That's funny you say that, Karen. So obviously I'm a little bit more of a coffee guy. So, like, I got coffee right here, right? I'm drinking like a bulletproof coffee. But back in the day, wow, when I first started drinking coffee, I would need like four creams and six packets of the NutraSweet, you know, the pink things, which is not even real sugar. Yeah. That's even worse than sugar, obviously, right? But I'd have to take six of those and four just to get over, you know, and of course that weaned over time. But then once I educated myself and realized that this wasn't serving me, I just went to, you know, like heavy cream. And then eventually I kind of found, you know, the bulletproof, and there's variations of that, you know, type of thing, but essentially, or I just drink black coffee, right? So like the difference, I mean, that's a 20-year journey from six packets and four creams to where I'm at now, but still, like, it's just small. It's the littlest incremental changes, and they can really move the dial over the long term.
And it's going to make a big impact because you're doing that daily. Oh, and I like, okay. So I wasn't going to say anything when it comes to nutrition because not everybody has the same opinion of me, but you mentioned bulletproof coffee there. So is your thought process around the nutrition that we've been told is healthy for us, and maybe it isn't necessarily so?
Well, here's my take on nutrition. So first of all, I don't believe there's a one-size-fits nutrition for everyone. It's highly individualized. And in my practice, especially when I work with my one-on-one clients, not necessarily my group coaching clients, my one-on-one clients, we go deep, right? We'll do testing and see. But, you know, there's a lot of factors that go in. Like, let's start, right, genetically, ancestrally. What would your ancestors have typically eaten? Right? And we're in a global society. I'm of a mixed marriage, so my parents have totally different ancestry and genetics. You know, there's age, you know, stage of life, activity levels, you know, even like where you live. Like, do you live somewhere hot? Do you live somewhere cold? And then what are your goals? Are you trying to lose weight? Are you trying to put on muscle? So there's no one size fits all. If somebody wants to be, my take is, if you want to be, let's go carnivore on one extreme, vegan on the other extreme, you know, if you do those properly, 80% overlap in philosophy. It's just the others that's a little bit different, but we'll put that aside for a second. So my take on, and again, very individualized. So the way I eat is slightly different than the way my wife eats, and my kids, right? I have two girls, and they're going to follow the genetically from their mom, eat slightly different as well, because they are a different stage of life. So 80% of our meal that we share every night is the same. And we just have a few little tweaks for our individual needs. I mean, I'm not saying everyone has to, or anyone has to go make four different or three different types of meals or anything like that, but it's very individualized. So, and again, depending on your goal. So I eat a more, not keto, but I'll say a lower carb. I basically just don't eat grains and sugars, right? And that brings my carb load down. I eat lots of vegetables and stuff like that. My wife, she can have a little bit more grains. She'll have a bun, you know, like I'll eat a hamburger or something, just a patty, My wife will have a bun. My kids will have the bun, and they might have a few homemade fries. We're gonna have potatoes, right? Like, so it's just slightly different. We're all having hamburgers, but just slightly different. So you just have to make what works for you. And there's no one size fits all. And again, ethnicity as well. You can, and then there's always substitutions. I have yet to find a client based on their traditional foods that they've always eaten that they can't. Well, the thing is, most people have gotten away from traditional, actually, right? They've gone to the westernized version of whatever their ancestors ate. Let's say it's a curry or something like that. I'm East Indian, or half East Indian. But now they start using vegetable oils and stuff. Your ancestors didn't use vegetable oils. They used ghee. Go back and use ghee. Okay, you made that change. Okay, but I want to bring my carbs down, and they're eating, a curry with potatoes and cauliflower and whatever. It's like, okay, great. How about you cut the potatoes in half and you add a little bit more cauliflower? You're having the same dish. You just brought the carb level down. Now that, again, maybe they can handle, some people can handle potatoes, some people can't. So again, very individualized when I work with people one-on-one. Let's really dig down and make small tweaks and you'll really move the dial.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and that is it. Because a lot of people when they speak, so I used to, I don't anymore. I used to advise people for the ketogenic diet. I studied under Professor Tim Noakes, so we specifically for helping autoimmune or ADHD or epilepsy or so many ailments is down to our nutrition. So I'm a true believer in that. And you're right, children, they can have more carbs. It's just maybe us lot that might have overdone it in the past couple of decades.
Absolutely.
Maybe we need to readjust things. But so it's not just nutrition though, I would presume, is how you're working with mindset, you're helping with their nutrition. What else? I mean, we're talking about anti-aging here.
Yeah, no, great
What
question.
are the other things?
Yeah, so when I work with somebody, either my group programs or my one-on-one coaching, we always start with mindset, right? I talked about it right at the beginning, right? If we don't have it up here, head and heart, as I like to say, it's not going to be successful long term. We always tie it back to that purpose, that why. And again, in that, and I'm talking for sort of large, seven large, there's kind of seven large buckets of my program. Motivation, mindset, number one. Part of that is relationships, community, meditation, that sort of thing as well. Nutrition is another big piece, probably the second biggest piece. Then we have a movement and movement that's right for you. We're all not meant to do powerlifting. We're not all meant to do running ultra marathons. It's like just what is right for you and your stage of life and your goals. Then it's the stress piece, stress reduction, managing that. That includes sleep, that includes breath work, regulating our nervous system and all those sorts of things. Again, there's, I'm talking high level here. There's multitudes of things that follow that. Then there's the environmental factors. What are we surrounding ourselves with? Some we control, some we can't control. What are we putting on our skins? I like to say, if you're not going to eat it, why are you putting it on your skin? When it comes to products and that sort of thing, right? It'll end up in there anyway, one way or another. Then there's the so that's five. And then the sixth one is I like to call it don't do stupid stuff. It's basically a risk reward analysis. So those first five is what I work on with my group coaching, and then for individual coaching, we add six and seven on. So don't do stupid stuff is basically, I'll just use, here's an example I typically use. So say someone rides a motorcycle. I'm like, okay, great, that's not for me, right? That's not my thing. You do your thing, that's fine. If you're gonna ride a motorcycle, are you wearing a helmet all the time? Great. Okay, you're doing that, awesome. Are you wearing leathers? So if you should fall, you're not gonna rash up your skin. Yeah, you do that too. Great. Are you taking brain supplements so that if you should fall, even though you have a helmet and you get a concussion, you're going to recover better, or not even maybe be brain injured if you fall. Oh, I never thought of that. Well, look, this is a high risk activity. Here's some things you should do. Helmet, yes, got it. Check. Leathers, got it. Check. Brain nutrition. Oh, I never thought of that. Okay, well, if you're going to ride, you should do that. You should probably take brain nootropics or and brain supplements. If you're in an activity where there's the potential of a head injury is greater, motorcycle is just one example. So that's kind of bucket number six. And then the last bucket, which is again not for everyone, but for many of my clients it is that cutting edge, the latest. It could be tech that they wear for getting their body into some sort of state. I don't have anything within arm's reach here. It could be, you know, advanced healing modalities. You know, that could be oxygen therapy, HBOT therapy, ozone therapy. Someone could be, oh, I mean, my doctor thinks I need shoulder surgery. You know, what do you think? I said, well, hey ho, before you go get surgery, maybe just a stem cell treatment would work, or a PRP injection, or something like that. And I built a vast array of partners, practitioners around the world where I can refer to. Like, I'm not a doctor, you know, so I don't do any of that stuff myself. I can just provide the education and direct, almost concierge service a bit for my clients who want that sort of thing, who want stem cells, exosomes, and the list goes on and on. So,
I mean, you know, that's how we should all be working, collaborating more. Like we said just at the beginning, the issue with the system is that everybody's separate, and it's my way is the right way, and we've got to do this rather than looking at the whole. So it sounds to me like you're looking at the whole person and working out what would be the best, you know, process for them to follow based on their particular needs, which is, I think, what everybody needs to be doing.
And absolutely.
Ozone therapy. My personal, and this is personal, people, don't go off on me. It's funny that you mentioned about bronchitis. That I from a baby, really, all the way up, I would get bronchitis 3 times a year. Sometimes it would go into pleurisy. They diagnosed me with asthma when I was about 30. It took them a long while to figure that one out. And I was looking for something alternative. And for sort of ozone therapy, hydrogen peroxide, but very, very, very diluted. Now, 12 years ago, I did the whole internal cleanse, which took about 6 weeks. And very particular, don't go rushing out buying hydrogen peroxide. There is a very specific procedure, and it's very specific what you buy. But it took me 6 weeks to do it to this date. So that was about 12 years ago when I did that six-week cleanse. I have not had one chest infection. Not one. I totally believe that I must have just totally cleaned out everything, all the mucus, candida, any of the nasties. And first time I even had a cold, because I never would get a cold. It would just go to my chest instantly. And, well, I haven't even been ill in the last 4 years, but I'm a huge friend, and I'm pretty sure that the ozone therapy is similar, isn't it?
I, you know, for full disclosure, I use hydrogen peroxide, nebulize it when I feel like something's coming on, or I've been some large gathering where, you know, strangers, you're outside your normal circle, whatever. Yeah, it's just preventative type of thing. Ozone, I mean, it can look at a lot of different things, but yes, essentially, it's ozone is a cleaner. Right? So it's going to clean your blood, clean area, wounds. I mean, they use it in hospitals, right? So, like, again, I'm kind of, you know, I'll wear my biohacker hat, and I'll do things, experiment on my own as well. But you got to be safe, right? Like, I'm not saying, again, like you said, don't go run out and do crazy things, people. You know, make sure you know what you're doing or what have you. But yeah, ozone, I love hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I have a really great story about that. But yeah, I like hyperbaric oxygen therapy. That's probably the next big ticket item I would buy for myself for my own home would be an HBOT unit. Yeah.
Wow. And there you go. It just, what I find so fascinating about all this is, I mean, it costs pennies, literally. I mean, it's funny to say, I've got nebulizer over there. And I'm the same. If I think my God, there I go. And absolutely nothing. And it literally is, you know, I don't know, I buy a bottle for £14, I don't know, $20.
So, yeah, a lot of these things don't cost a lot. And if you think about it too, so here's another example. So I have like one of the top of the line infrared saunas at home. It was pricey, and that's not for everyone. But if I think about it, I've had it for, gosh, 6-7 years now. I don't remember. But I use it every day that I'm home. The cost per use is probably, I brought it down to pennies, right? Yes, it was a large upfront investment for me. I mean, certainly one could finance or whatever, but the cost per use now, like, this thing's going to last me for 40 years probably, right? Like it's for the benefits, the health benefits. It's like a no-brainer, right? Like obviously, yes, you got to come up with upfront cost, but the cost per use is pennies.
But going back to this whole, you made a decision. Yes, okay, it got to the stage. It got to the stage. Or you said you had already been losing weight anyway, but it got to the point where you actually can't pick up your child when you're enough. And you've made a decision to take ownership, and you chose to then go out. I mean, the problem we have here in the UK, and again, I don't want people to misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm not dissing the NHS. It does lots of wonderful things. However, the mindset of individuals here is the fact that, oh, well, it's free. Apart from it's not, because you've just paid into it since you were 16 in your national insurance contributions. But the whole mindset, I feel, I could be wrong, and I'm not talking about everybody, but it's almost like they don't, it's almost like they resent paying in advance for their health things because, well, I can go to a doctor and it's free. Does
I
that
know
make
it's the
sense? I mean,
same.
I'm
I mean,
pointing to
the systems here in Canada and UK are very, very similar. I mean, we're both, Canada's the Commonwealth, right? So same, exact same thing. I pay my taxes. It should be included. You know what? I'll wait, 9 months to get an MRI or something. So a perfect example is exactly, and the reason I use nine is very specific. So when, they try to, again, I get the runaround through the system with trying to figure out what was with my back and let's do a shot here and see, that didn't work and whatever. I was like, just why don't we just get an MRI and get done? But like, again, the system is such and there's such a backlog and et cetera. First of all, they wasted all this time. And then when they're finally like, maybe we should get an MRI. Like that should have been like question one, like day one, right? Proper diagnosis. No. So after months and months, well, over a year, maybe we should get an MRI. Okay, how long is that? Well, it's about 9 months wait. And I was like, ugh. So then I was talking to my chiropractor who I was already working with. I already was working with a team, two physiotherapists, a chiropractor, acupuncture. Like I was just trying to figure out just to make it through my day, right? Just have some pain relief. So I was talking to my chiropractor. He's like, well, if you pay out of pocket, you could probably get in faster. Like, typically you can. So
Tomorrow.
yeah, so exactly. I called them up and they're like, yeah, it's about a night, whatever. And do you have a referral from your doctor? I was like, I'm going to pay out of my own pocket. Oh, you can come tomorrow. Right. So it's exact same you're saying. I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but typically Canadians, sounds like people from the UK as well, have this mindset of, I want to call this for what it is, a scarcity mindset. I paid my taxes. I shouldn't have to do this. Is the authority figure, et cetera, et cetera. No, you need to take charge. And honestly, I mean, I work with people all over the world, the English speaking world. But I love working with Americans the most because they have a different mindset. They're used to paying for things. And especially if they are truly serious about their health or performance, right? I've worked with people who are there, they're already top notch. They want to eke out that extra, 1, 2, 3, 10%. And then some people are coming from a totally different place, but they have a different mentality and they're willing to pay for top-notch service to get things done faster, et cetera. I was like, well, why should I wait 3 months? Like, can I get it tomorrow? I'll go tomorrow. Like, like here's the check, write the check. Like they're different mentality altogether.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because it is. It's that just goes to prove, does it not? Going back to your first basically comment about mindset, that just goes to show that's just a different mindset because of the way they've been brought up, the way they've been conditioned to look at health. And I'm not saying they've got it, they've got a better system because I hear horror stories about over there as well. So it does come back to it's almost like our different systems, none of them are working right. But what does seem to be working is when the individual makes the decision to be responsible for the body, for the vessel that they're in at this time. We only know about this one life, whatever goes on, we don't know yet. So the one vessel that we are in, people will spend more money, having their car. Well, we call it, they have it MOT'd over here, and they put it in for a service. They know that the machine needs to be looked at. Yet the sort of machine that they're currently in seems to take a back seat, and we can't just get a new part yet.
Yeah, I love that analogy because most people, again, if you're yes, if you're taking care of your vehicle, you know you need to do an oil change maybe at least twice a year minimum, probably, right? Maybe more. You know you want to keep it shiny on the outside, and you need to do diagnostics on it. Like, this is a big investment. I spent whatever, I'm not going to do the translation between pounds and dollars, but like I spent 30, 40,000, 50,000 pounds, on a vehicle. And I do want to keep it up, right? I want to have it run for like 10 years. It's like, I think your life is valuable, more valuable than that. And you want it for like, 100 years or 60 years or 40, whatever years less, but you don't do diagnostics. And that means blood, to me, that would be equivalent of like getting regular blood work and seeing how things are going under the hood, so to speak, right? You're not doing, are you changing your oil? We can make these analogies back and forth, right? But like, you're absolutely right. People will not, won't put that, take that ownership or think of it that way. Yeah.
Beyond my, and again, maybe it's like for you, you had, you got to the stage where, your health was suffering severely. Sometimes, maybe, and the same was with me, it was because I was suffering. And so people are sort of ticking along. this prevention is better than cure doesn't resonate totally because they may not have suffered. It's almost like as human beings, we wait until things are really, really bad, and then we take action rather than having this mindset of prevention is better than cure. And we all know that, I'm not going to mention the C word, but there's lots of, there's, I don't know what the stats are now. I'm sure they were talking about one in two very, very soon will, have suffered with it. So, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not having it. I'm not accepting it. I'm not accepting it. Anybody tells me that that's it, I will do everything in my power to change because it, whatever's led me up to that diagnosis has been part of the problem. And this is the thing that I see, is just so many people aren't prepared to change. They want to continue eating what they're eating, carrying on living that same lifestyle, but expecting to then suddenly be in a healthy body.
Yeah, you make a good point there. Like, I was actually having this conversation yesterday with somebody, again, about genetics and, epigenetics. It's like, oh, well, my mom got this and my aunt got this, and maybe I even got tested on, we have the gene. That's not a death sentence. That whatever. That all that means is you're maybe, depending on the, the allele of it, you might be slightly more susceptible. Like I am for Alzheimer's. I have the Alz one of the two genes that are make me a little bit more susceptible. That's fine. Great. Awesome information. Now I'm using that as preventive measure. So now my choices for me are like, okay, what helps me potentially prevent Alzheimer's or at least delay it? So again, maybe you have a family history of X. That doesn't matter. If you put the lifestyle practices in and change your epigenetics and your lifestyle, yeah, maybe you'll get it, but don't get it at 50 like your mom did. Get it at 80.
Yeah.
Push it off, put aging on pause and push it off.
Yeah. So it really sounds like you're empowering people to, take control. And yeah, okay, we're not saying, that everything is going to be in your control, but although the science is, you mentioned epigenetics there. I mean, the power of the mind, I think, is phenomenal. And people like Joe Dispenza, I think, are proving it because they're bringing science into the what I call woo-woo.
Yeah,
It's all
absolutely.
woo-woo. It's all woo-woo. We just call it the mental, the physical, the spiritual, but it's all woo-woo. But now it sounds like, they are finally sort of, proving that it is. That it is. They're proving
Yeah,
it. But for
Karen,
you, yeah, sorry.
I was, there's in the last, I don't know, let's call it 10, 15 years, the things that are maybe beyond our grandparents, our great great grandparents, or go back like 10,000 years, and or practices that have been, meditation, gratitude, the list goes on and on, that humanity has been practicing for 5,000, 10,000 years. Just in the last 10 or 15, they've scientifically proven, yes, having meditation is benefit for your health, having a gratitude, having like, okay, we've now quantified these things in science that we've as humanity have been doing for a long time, but somewhere in the last 40, 50, 600 years, we kind of got this disconnect. I think we're starting to come around now where we're like, you know, people like ourselves, other, you know, influencers in this broad space, and that's, you know, of health, that's very broad, right? Joe Dispenza, you know, the list goes on and on. I think we're starting to come around now a little bit to like, let's get back a little bit. Like, let's, I'm not getting rid of my cell phone. I'm not getting rid of XYZ, but let's do some of these ancestral things that, you know, our ancestors would have done as just part of everyday life, right?
Well, we wouldn't, none of us would be here if our ancestors didn't get it right.
Exactly, exactly.
It's like, well, hang on, just because they were around a long time ago, they were doing something right, because you wouldn't be here, and there's a lot of people on the planet today, so they did a job right, didn't they? So with you, so with your whole program, and I know you're launching something new, you've launched something new this year, so can you share with the audience a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I kind of alluded to it earlier. So I traditionally worked with people one-on-one for a year, long coaching, get very in-depth. We get do a lot of testing and genetics and really get deep on all those seven topics I mentioned earlier. But I came to realize that, you know, when I work with someone, not only are they transformed, you know, at the very least, their immediate family is transformed, and sometimes their larger circle. Like I work with people, you know, they have 5,000 employees. If they just implement one health thing in their organization, like I've impacted 5,000 people. Now that's an extreme case. But what I came to realize, I was challenged by my mentor, is like to make a bigger impact. So this year I've launched a group program, and it's shorter. It's 10 weeks long. We touch high level on those first five that I mentioned earlier. Again, just to make a bigger impact so that those people can go make a bigger impact. So it's that whole ripple effect, right? If you can drop a lot more stones in the water, that ripple effect goes out further. So I have a mission, and I hope I know I'm going to achieve it, you know, to impact, you know, a million lives in the next couple of years. And it's through that ripple effect. That's mm-hmm. the only way that's going to happen. So I need to touch more people. So I started this group program. I launched the first version of it here just a couple of weeks ago. The next version, the next cohort, if you will, is starting in April. So, and I'll be holding some workshops leading up to that so people can learn more about the program. So I'm sure we can drop the link or what have you in there. So I've started this group program to impact more people, change the direction of their lives from health and longevity and anti-aging point of view, so that they can be the best versions of themselves and take that into their families, take that into their businesses, take that into their community, and that ripple effect. And I think overall, if there's enough of, you know, us, Karen, yourself, other coaches, you know, other people in our networks are doing similar type of things, eventually we're going to have a better society.
It's just that the system might take a while to catch up. What's it say, 17 years?
But if more of us demand it, right? If more of us demand it and more of our clients demand it, it will slowly, that's what's going to make change. It's not going to be the talking heads and the pharma. They're not going to change. It's us demanding change, knocking on the door, demanding different things, different modalities be available to us, et cetera. That's what's going to move the system. So we need to empower those people. And I feel like I'm sure you feel the same. We have a small part to play in empowering those people to make that change.
Right. So you talked about mindset, nutrition, you talked about some gadgety things.
There's mindset and motivation, nutrition, movement, stress relief or coping with stress, environmental factors, that risk reward, right? Don't do stupid stuff. And then sort of the advanced cutting edge biohacking, that's where the gadgets and stuff come in as well. So
interesting, fascinating. I'd love to have it. Oh, I want this sauna, I want this, I want that. it's all about, because who wants to get to 100 in a body that can't do anything? It pains me when I do see older people, and you can see that they're struggling so much. They're obviously in pain. They can hardly get about. And as you said, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, I want to clarify one thing that a lot of people misconstrue, because I get this, people say this to me all the time. It's like, well, I don't want to get that old, because they have this mindset and this picture. Maybe from their parents to grandparents, what that means. So when I say I want to be a centenarian plus, I'm not talking about being in some care home with tubes in my nose and somebody have to change my bedpan. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about controlling my own destiny, living in my own home, snowshoeing, stand-up paddleboarding, playing with my great-great-grandkids, crawling on the floor, playing Lego with them, being able to stand up myself independently, no problem. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about healthy aging and longevity and being a centenarian. That's my vision of it, and that's the vision I have now. And again, mindset, like you said, it's a big, the power of the mind is huge. That's what I envision, and that's what will be, that's what will end up happening for me, because I'm not thinking the other way.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm in total in agreement, because, yeah, like you said, it's almost, again, we've been conditioned, like you did say this earlier, actually, didn't you? It's like we, you know, we get to that age, you should be like that. And like I've still got my pink braids. I took these out when I was 30, because we were living in Portugal at the time, and an old Portuguese guy said to me in a shop or a cafe, I can't think where I was, and aren't you a bit old to have your hair like that? And I was really taken aback. But more for me, for taking that, his silly opinion of me, and I took it and I took my braids out. Well, now I'm going to be 51 this year and I'm not taking them out. I'm keeping it because I'm not accepting what I should be looking like, dressing like, just because I'm 50 or 51. And this is the thing, isn't it? It's people's perception of, oh yeah, well, you know, when you're 80, you're going to be like this and struggling. But yeah, when we have the right education of what to eat, what to drink, how to be meditating, or adding some of these tools that, you know, I'm sure that you've got in your toolbox to give people to actually change that. And so do you truly believe that everybody has the opportunity to slow the aging process down or putting it on pause, and that everybody could have the same opportunity as getting to 100?
I absolutely believe that. And it doesn't matter when you start, you can always start. You can always make improvement, right? So unfortunately, some people, they kind of come to that realization maybe after they've retired and the grind of the work, you know, work life is done, and then they're in their 60s or 70s before they come to realization. That's fine. Start now. What I like to work with people, or like at least try to convey the message, is where do you want to be in 30, 40 years? And this is what you want. And maybe it's not 100. Maybe it's just 90. Maybe you just want to live past what your parents lived to, whatever the case is. It's like, okay, great. What do you want to be able to do? So for example, well, when I'm X, I want to be able to pick up my grandkids, you know, and like, you know, whatever. It's like, okay, great. What do you have to do now so that you can do that in 30 years? So you're going to need strength. If you're going to pick up, let's call it a 20-pound kid above your head, well, you should probably do some squats now, you know, so you can do that. And it goes on and on, right? But just try to make people realize, like, what are the small things you can do now that, again, build on themselves? And while you're now, I'm just making a theoretical example, while you're in your 40s and you still have a lot of muscle mass and strength and everything, keep that up. If not increase, at least keep it up, so that when naturally things are going to decline, you're in a much better spot 30 years from now than you would be if you did nothing now.
Again, it's down to the education that they've received. So many think that all they've got to do is a bit of cardio. I think my dad would go to the gym and just sit on a little bike for that, and it would just be like, you need strength. You need core strength, which gets missed. And so many people, as they get older, more often than not, they don't necessarily pass because of what they said they've passed, but they've passed because they've had a fall, and then because their balance is out of whack. If you don't use it, you lose it. And then they've had complications after the fall, and then passed. So the actual initial problem was their core strength and balance, which be worked on today.
Yeah, I can't remember the stat exactly what you're saying there, Karen. I might be getting the numbers a little bit off, but it's, I believe it was like, this might be an American stat, but 70 some odd percent of hospital deaths are from people over 65 are from falls. You're exactly, balance, core strength, lack of muscle mass. You know, even if you do fall, just your body can't handle the impact because you're brittle. You don't have bone density. Then you get in there for a fractured hip or broken leg, whatever. Then you get something in the hospital. We know hospital you know, miss things in the hospitals, like the third leading cause of death. You know, it's like, just avoid going to the hospital in the first place. Like, that's probably the number one thing you can do for earlier longevity, right? So, but yes, balances were, you know, I didn't mention that specifically, but in the movement piece, you know, bucket number three.
Yeah.
I do balance work every day. I do balance work every day. And I suggest my clients do it. It doesn't have to be long, like 2 minutes. 2 minutes of balance work every day goes a long way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, I'm no longer in at all in the fitness industry at all, but, you know, that was my whole, well, it was my whole life. 25 years I was in it and sports therapy. So fixing the injuries after I might have caused them, actually.
Yeah.
Working them too hard. No, I'm no longer in that industry, but the subject still fascinates me. I'm just fascinated around the whole, the fact that it, you know, even back then I would have said, you know, exercise is the thing. I didn't really bother about my nutrition. It's only sort of later on. And when I stopped exercising so much, it became more apparent because I wasn't using the same amount of energy as I, you know, I don't use so much energy sitting in this chair.
Yeah. Well, you know, it goes back. I think we need to do, you know, Homo sapiens were meant to move, right? We were meant to wander the plains looking for, like, so we need to move, right? And there's no magic 10,000 steps a day or anything like that, but just get out. You need, and I do virtual coaching. You know, I sit in a chair just like you all the time, but I have to get up every couple hours and move, take the dog for a walk. I do my little bit of cardio. I do my set cardio every day. I do my set strength training every week, but you just got to move a lot, a little bit, right? And the other thing too, I think for a lot of people, and I'd love to share this because a lot of people don't think this way, is like, you know, just do the things you love doing as a kid, run around, play with your kids, play with your grandkids, be silly. I got two girls, they're still relatively young, so we'll do like little dance parties and I look like a goof, right? But it's like, whatever, I'm having fun, I'm moving, I'm enjoying time with my kids. You know, it's part of, again, and all these seven buckets, again, are not in isolation, they all overlap, right? I'm moving, I'm building community, you know, I'm everything, all these things stack together and fit in some piece, right? There's a ton of overlap between all these areas.
Love it. So you're really, it sounds like a real holistic approach to things. So for the listeners, if they can't see this and see all your links, how do people find you?
Yeah, so I actually have a free gift for all your listeners. So I'd love to share that. And we'll drop it in, I'm sure, in the links as well. But it's DeepakSainiHealth.com. It's my website /freebie, FREEBIE. And so it's a guide, you know, talk high level about some of these areas that we talked about today, plus a 30-day tracking. So you don't have to, you know, choose to make all these habit changes at one time, but pick the ones that resonate with you and track them for 30 days. So it's a nice little guide. Mm-hmm. So again, DeepakSainiHealth.com/freebie, get that guide, and then you can keep up with what I'm doing. And then, yeah, and also keep a lookout for my group coaching, the next cohort of my group coaching program that'll be starting in April.
Fantastic. And it's I love it. And I think you're right. I think things are changing. A lot of the coaches that I'm speaking to in other areas, not necessarily health, but still same thing, is having this little bit of a more of an all-round view of things and treating the individual as an individual, because like you say, there isn't one size fits all, you know. I'm personally more when I consider myself to be in good, I'm probably more carnivore, keto than anything. But just like everybody else, again, mindset, and I realised how much of an emotional eater I was throughout lockdown, and I totally fell off the wagon there, and drinking more and eating absolute rubbish. And like you said, I mean, it's just the way we eat these days. I mean, everything's out of a packet. You try and eat healthy. If you stop off at, you know, if we go on a journey and you stop off at the petrol station, I mean, there's nothing that doesn't come in plastic. That is not the human consumption half of it. I'm sure it's probably closer to plastic.
Yeah. Karen, can I, before we wrap up, can I just share something that you probably find funny and your listeners might find funny or horrifying. I'm not sure which one. So it's just top of mind because we're going on a vacation, you know, in a couple of weeks here. It'll be our first, you know, sort of vacation in 3 years, you know, traveling abroad, type of thing. But I'm the type of person who, yeah, like if first of all, they don't give you anything on the airplanes anymore anyway, right? You might get a bag of nuts or something like that, garbage nuts, right? I'm the type of person, I can fast. I'm used to fast. I can fast 24 hours if I need to and just have, you know, have some coffee or something, water, whatever. But if I need something, I'm the person who will pack like a can of sardines or something in their carry-on or whatever. So if I'm getting hungry and it's like, I'll like, I don't care the smell, whatever, people, I'm hungry now, I'm opening it. And I'll pack little things like that, that travel, or jerky or something. Like, I'm that guy. I'm that guy that you probably don't want to sit next to because I'm going to crack open the sardines because I refuse to eat that stuff. I won't eat that. I'd rather not eat, but wherever I can mitigate it myself. But I'm not saying that's for everyone. Make the best choices you can in the situation, but hey, I'm that guy.
That's really tasting it. Love it. It's what we've got to do, because what are the options? Now, you can go somewhere, I'm a huge proponent of fasting. Again, it's almost like a lot of the things that we can all do don't, you know, like we said, like the ozone therapy, it's pennies for some of the things that you can do to actually improve your health. And I, you know, quite often, probably not much better than fasting. We do have this self-recycling system going on in our body. If we actually stop, because again, we've been conditioned to eat at least three times a day, people are eating, snacking in between, it's this constant grazing. Okay, they're not going to do well fasting.
Well, you know, you got to move people there. What I found, you got to slowly, you know, like, so, okay, people, are, most people are used to not eating for 8 hours while they're sleeping, right? Or thereabouts. So let's start by an hour or two. Don't have breakfast for an hour or two. And let's start there. It is a process, right? If people who are, especially if they're sugar burners, right? They're only fueled by carbohydrates, to get them to switch anywhere to sort of a higher fat diet or incorporate fasting. It's a slow process. I just try and add an hour or two at a time. And people don't have to do, like, I've done a 4-day fast. Like, people don't have to do that. My clients don't have to do that. If you want to, we'll do it safely. But, you know, I try and get people eventually, and not everyone wants to, but I try to get, you know, most of my clients to go to 14 to 16 hours and just have two meals a day. But again, to each their own, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I found that works for me. That definitely works for me. I find it, and I do think that's amazing for your health. But anyway, really fascinating speaking to you. I wasn't aware that it was going to go down this route. So, very interesting. So thank you for your time today. And to the rest of the listeners, guys, if you want to come and have a chat and you would like, you've got a message that you want to get out there to people that need it in relation to anything, really. It doesn't matter what sort of coach, what problem you're solving. Everybody's doing something different. Everybody's serving a different segment of society. Then get in touch. You can always jump on a call. My website /discovery for an informal chat. Otherwise, I will be back.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you for being here. Be back on Monday. Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo.